Picture this. You're in the right seat of a Pilatus PC-12 on a cold January morning, getting your turbine transition training. Your instructor runs you through the start checklist. You move the condition lever to ground idle, you press the start button, and then you watch. Fuel flow comes in on schedule. ITT climbs exactly the way it should. The propeller begins to turn. The engine spins up to idle, smooth and controlled, and the gauges settle where they belong. At no point did you manually schedule the fuel. At no point did you juggle ignition timing or worry about a hot start. The engine managed itself. That is full authority digital engine control. And if you think it lives only in turbine cockpits, I want to challenge that assumption. I'm Vector on Cleared Direct. This is Radio Hangar. And today we are going all the way inside FA Deck. What it actually does, how it changes your relationship with the engine, what it gets right, and what every pilot operating one of these systems needs to understand about what happens when it decides to have a bad day. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down from first principles. In a traditional piston cockpit, you manage the engine through three primary controls: throttle for manifold pressure or power output, mixture for the fuel-to-air ratio at the carburetor or fuel injection servo, propeller lever for RPM. The relationship between those controls and the engine is direct and largely mechanical. When you lean the mixture on a long cross-country, you are physically repositioning a needle valve that changes how much fuel reaches the cylinders. The feedback loop runs through your eyes on the gauges and your hands on the controls. You're an active participant in combustion management. In an older turbine without automation, that workload multiplies. Now you're tracking N1, N2, inter-turbine temperature, torque, oil pressure, fuel flow, all simultaneously, while also flying the aircraft through whatever conditions you happen to be in. Miss a limit during a steep climb on a hot day, and you can damage an engine that costs more than most houses in the time it takes to notice the gauge has moved. FedEx solves this by moving you up one level of abstraction. Instead of managing individual engine parameters directly, you command an outcome. You say, essentially, I want this much power. FADEC determines how to deliver it while keeping every parameter inside every limit the manufacturer has defined. The computation happens below your level of involvement. Full authority digital engine control is exactly what the name describes: a dedicated computer, and in practice a pair of redundant computers operating as separate channels, assumes complete control of the engine. Not advisory authority, not a suggestion system, complete authority. It manages fuel flow scheduling, ignition timing and sequencing, variable bleed valve positioning, variable geometry actuators, where the engine architecture uses them, anti-ice functions that protect engine inlets and sensor probes. The engine starts sequence from initiation through stable idle, surge detection and recovery, fuel metering at every power setting. In some installations, the system will physically prevent you from commanding a power setting that would exceed thermal or mechanical limits, regardless of where you move the throttle. The computer has final say. That is not a shortcut in the name. It is a precise description of the architecture. The data tells an interesting story when you look at what FA Deck actually prevented compared to what pilots used to do manually. Engine overhaul shops that service both FA Deck equipped and manually controlled turbines will tell you the FA Deck engines arrive in better condition. Over-torque events are dramatically rarer. Hot starts are nearly eliminated. Over-temperature exceedances during takeoff, which used to happen regularly when pilots were task-saturated on departure, have become uncommon to the point of being reportable events rather than routine nuisances. The computer does not get distracted during a rejected takeoff. It does not rush a start because there is ground traffic building behind it. Now let's talk about where this technology came from, because the history matters for understanding what FA Deck is and is not. The origins are in military aviation in the 1970s. The problem that drove the invention is easy to state. A variable cycle turbine engine at supersonic speed at high altitude during aggressive maneuvering has a control problem that is genuinely beyond human reaction time. The number of parameters interacting in real time and the speed at which they change during a high G turn or a rapid acceleration from idle to full power exceeds what any pilot can manage with direct mechanical linkages. When General Dynamics was developing the F-16 in the mid-70s, the engine control challenge was a central engineering problem. a hydromechanical system sophisticated enough to manage the Pratt & Whitney F-100 engine across that flight envelope would have been unreliable and maintenance-intensive. FedEx offered an alternative. The technology migrated into commercial aviation through the 1980s, and the pace of adoption accelerated through the 90s. CFM International's CFM56 turbofan, which went on to power the Boeing 737 Classic and Next Generation families and the Airbus A320 family across decades of production, incorporated FADEC integration that deepened through successive software iterations. The International Aero Engines V2500, which also powered variants of the A320 family, came to market with FADEC as a defining feature. By the time the Boeing 777 entered service in 1995 with its General Electric GE90 engines, FADEC was not a novelty, it was the expectation. And within a decade, any new commercial turbine engine that did not incorporate full authority digital control was the exception, requiring explanation, not the standard. Today, the list covers almost everything: modern and turbine aviation, every Gulfstream in current production, every Bombardier Challenger and Global, the Cessna Citation family, King Air turboprops, the TBM 800 and 900 series, the Pilatus PC-12 and PC-24, Daher's TBM series, and increasingly piston platforms. Rotax's 912IS uses a dual-channel electronic ignition and fuel injection controller that operates on FADEC principles. Continental Aerospace Technologies has developed electronic ignition systems for some of their engine variants. The Austro engine AE300 turbodiesel that goes into the Diamond DA40 TDI and DA40NG uses FADEC. The direction in new piston design is clear, and it is not reversing. So, what does this actually change for you as a working pilot? Workload reduction is the most visible impact. A FADEC engine start in a modern turbine aircraft is often passive to the point of feeling anticlimactic. Move the condition lever, press the start switch, monitor. The computer handles fuel flow ramp rate, ignition energy, hot start protection. If ITT is rising faster than the certification profile allows, FADEC adjusts fuel flow before the temperature limit is challenged. You're watching, not managing. In flight, FADEC is continuously optimizing the engine's operation. Not once every few minutes when you think to cross-check the gauges. Continuously, in real time, against a model of the engine's current state. On a long oceanic leg, where your planned fuel burn is the margin between making your alternate and declaring an emergency. The continuous optimization of fuel scheduling is not an abstraction. It is measurable range. The protection function is arguably the most operationally significant benefit. Pilot-induced engine damage has historically been a major source of unscheduled maintenance events and engine removals. Overtorque during a go-around, hot start during a busy ground sequence, overtemperature because the pilot was managing an avionics issue on the climb-out and did not catch the ITT creeping toward redline. FADEC eliminates this entire category of damage events. The engine cannot be overtorqued through pilot action because the system will not allow it. But here's what most people miss when they talk about FADEC, and I want to be direct about this because it matters to airmanship. Traditional mechanical engine control systems have inherent redundancy in their complexity. If a magneto fails, you lose some ignition efficiency, but the engine may continue running on the remaining set. If a fuel control component begins to malfunction, you may still have partial fuel flow. The mechanical system degrades gracefully in many failure modes because the connections between your controls and the engine components are direct. FADEC introduces digital dependency. The engine's ability to run is now coupled to the FADEC system functioning correctly. They are deeply integrated. The engineering response to this is substantial redundancy in the FADEC architecture itself. Dual-channel processors in separate housings, frequently on separate power buses, with separate sensor inputs and separate actuator drive circuits. watchdog circuits that monitor processor health, voting logic that compares sensor readings across multiple probes and rejects outliers, automatic channel switching when the primary detects an anomaly, and in many installations there is a hydromechanical backup mode. If both FADEC channels lose authority, the engine reverts to a fixed fuel metering position. The engine continues to run. You still have thrust. You cannot modulate it with normal precision, but you have thrust. That is a workable emergency. It becomes much less workable if the pilot does not know it is happening, does not understand why the engine is not responding normally to throttle inputs, and does not know what power setting the engine has reverted to. This is where the training picture gets important, and where the aviation safety record shows a recurring pattern. The Federal Aviation Administration has published multiple safety alerts for operators specifically addressing FADEC knowledge gaps in pilot populations transitioning to FADEC-equipped aircraft. The consistent finding is that pilots know what FADEC does during normal operations. They are less certain about what it does during partial failures. What does a specific amber caution indication mean for continued thrust availability? If the engine has entered a degraded mode, at what power setting is it now operating? Can I still change thrust with the throttle? The answers differ by aircraft type and FADEC installation variant, and that variability is itself a training challenge. The National Transportation Safety Board has documented incidents involving turboprop aircraft where FADEC anomalies produced behavior that the crew did not immediately recognize or correctly interpret. In several cases, ice accumulation on pressure probes fed corrupted data into the FADEC control loop. The system received bad air data and made fuel scheduling decisions based on it. The engine behaved in ways the pilot had not commanded, and the path to understanding what was happening required knowledge of the FADEC degraded mode architecture that was not deeply embedded in the crew's training. The incidents are not evidence that FADEC is dangerous. The broader record shows conclusively that FADEC has made aviation safer on balance. They are evidence that operating a FADEC-equipped aircraft requires specific knowledge of how that system fails, not just how it works, and that knowledge needs to be part of initial type training and not treated as an optional deep dive. Now let's look forward, because FADEC is genuinely evolving and the direction has implications for every pilot. The current generation of FADEC systems is reactive. They manage the engine in real time against a fixed set of rules encoded in certified software. What is coming next is predictive. Predictive health monitoring is already partially integrated into FADEC architectures on commercial engine families, the CFM LEAP series and the Pratt & Whitney PW1100G geared turbofan, which both entered service in the mid-2010s powering the Airbus A320, INEO and Boeing 737 MAX families. Both feed performance data from the FADEC system to ground-based analytics in near real time. The FADEC is not just controlling the engine. It is recording a continuous performance baseline and flagging deviations. Engine deterioration that would take months to show up in pilot visible indications can be detected from the FADEC data stream weeks in advance, enabling scheduled maintenance before an in-service event occurs. The next development is using predictive data to actively adjust how the engine is controlled in real time. If early indicators of compressor stall susceptibility appear in the data, can the system adjust bleed valve scheduling preemptively? Honeywell Aerospace and Safran Aircraft Engines are both working in this space. The early results are promising, and the potential impact on dispatch reliability across commercial fleets is substantial. An engine that can adjust its own management strategy based on its current health state is a significantly more robust system than one operating on fixed rules. Further out is the question of what FADEC looks like in hybrid electric propulsion systems, which is where a significant share of current propulsion engineering investment is focused. Managing power flow in a series hybrid system, coordinating turbine output, battery storage state, and electric motor demand across a variable flight envelope with varying efficiency curves is an order of magnitude more complex than managing a single turbine. You are writing a power management system for a multi-node energy network with variable generation sources and variable demand sinks. Every major propulsion developer working in the hybrid space, from Rolls-Royce to GE Aviation to the startup field, has this control problem somewhere near the top of their engineering challenge list. The direction of travel for cockpit automation is one level of abstraction higher with each generation. You will be further from the raw mechanical operation of your propulsion system in the aircraft that come next than you are in the aircraft flying today. That trajectory is, on balance, good, lower workload, better protection, more efficient operation, fewer damage events, but it places an increasing premium on understanding the system that sits between your intentions and the engine. Not the deep software architecture, not the sensor network specifications, but the operational logic. What does it do when it works? What does it do when it partially fails? What are the degraded modes? What are your indications? What are your options? Knowing your FADEC system is not engineer-level trivia. It is the same category of knowledge as knowing your fuel system or your hydraulics. It is airmanship. It is understanding the machine you are flying. Sources for today include FAA safety alerts for operators on FADEC systems, National Transportation Safety Board incident reports, and technical documentation from Honeywell Aerospace and Pratt & Whitney. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Know what the computer knows.